You're listening to Interviews with Adam. I'm your host, Adam Miller, and we are joined once again by Matt and Kathy Boyle, along with Ina Taylor, who are part of the J1 ministry program here on Cape Cod, where we have J1 students that come here every summer, and they come to work and help, and they're all over the... They come from 80 different countries, thousands of them, during the summer to help keep the population of all of our visitors from around New England that come to the Cape. I'm sure many of our listeners, even listening now, you come to the Cape to be a part of your vacation time, your summer. Well, there are a lot of international students that you'll be seeing here on the Cape as well. Before we get started, I want to hear from Matt. You can explain for our listeners who may not be familiar. You've been on the broadcast before, so you've kind of got the ability to concisely give us a description of what the J1 program is and what it actually represents for the ministry of what you guys are doing here on the Cape.
Thanks, Adam. Every summer, Cape Cod needs 25,000 seasonal workers. These are people that come and work in the grocery stores and the restaurants, and 4,000 of them come from 59 countries around the world. So as a Christian with a worldview, I have the opportunity to tell students from all kinds of cultures, from all kinds of countries, about the love of Jesus. And then they go back to their college, university, changed by their contact with people who love Jesus.
And you and your wife, Kathy, have become full-time missionaries doing this work now. But this is a labor of love that you've been doing for several years now. Kathy, why don't you tell us a little bit about what prompted you to see the need, first of all, but also to devote all of your time now to this ministry?
In the beginning, we were working with H-2B visa. People who come 6 to 9 months and they leave their families, usually from Caribbean countries and the Philippines. And we went to, right down the street here, we went to the Social Security Administration with one of our friends because they had made a mistake on her Social Security card. And I saw a line of students outside the door. And I saw some of them, they were pretending to be, you know, brave, it was cold out. But some of them just looked so scared and they just looked like they were fish out of water. And that's when God first put it on my heart that I needed to be reaching out. Jump ahead about 5 years, God put it on my heart to do a dinner in Dennisport. So I put it in the bulletin because I do the bulletin at church. And I got four. If you count my husband, that does not a dinner make. So I was in the nursery praying, God, you have to send me more people. Meanwhile, walking around the church was Ina Taylor, who God had just brought them to the neighborhood, and God put it on her heart to do a dinner. So she walked around the block and God said, go knock on that door. And she was like, I don't know anybody, God. So she walked around. I guess she walked around a couple of times and then you knocked on the door and she just blurted everything out to my husband. And my husband said, let me introduce you to my wife. I was praying at that exact moment, God, I need somebody. And Ina came walking down the hallway and she introduced us to people from Cape Cod Bible Alliance. And now we are 11 churches, people from 11 churches that help with dinners, with taking students to do things they like to do, with all sorts of events so that these students can know Jesus.
And Ina, you have a unique perspective on this. It's kind of cool to hear how you got involved and how God orchestrated all of that. But you have an outsider's point of view. Why don't you tell our listeners about even how you came to the Cape and why this has been such a strong burden for you?
Yeah, I personally came from Ukraine, and in 2 weeks I will become an American citizen.
Yay.
I'm so excited.
Heck,
about that. So I came to Cape Cod in 2010. I got married to Andrew Taylor, and we met through internet. Before that, I was a student in Maryland. So my first summer was in Cape Cod in 2010, and students started to reach out to me through Russian Facebook. There is Russian Facebook, asking for help, and I realized what a great need is this. And another realization is that the world come to outdoor steps. What a great opportunity. And the most effective way to reach them with the gospel is to answer their physical needs, to help them out, just to be friendly, to open your home. And I realized that Americans are so blessed. We have no idea how blessed we are. The world is not in a good place. I just returned from Ukraine, and I just want to tell you that we are truly blessed to live in American free land. So students come with open minds to America to learn more about the world, to understand who they are in this world. And it's a great opportunity for us to come to show them love of Christ by answering their practical needs. And it's just incredible. I'm so excited to tell, listeners what a great opportunity it is. And hopefully they will be inspired.
Now, Kathy, you have a ministry with these students that is more than just the face-to-face once they get here. You're talking with the students. They're getting prepared to come here. You're on Facebook. You're interacting with these students. I just had a Facebook message from one of the students that I helped out this last summer asking me about taxes and how to file their taxes here. Tell us a little bit about how that process works and finding the students that are coming here for the summer and how you start to forge those relationships even before they get here.
Well, first of all, they have to have been in their university as a full-time student for one semester. They have to have a proficiency with quotes around that of English before they come. They're recommended by their university to find an agent in their country that will help them with their visas, etc. But they also have to find housing. And so this is usually the place where the students contact me, because we are in contact with about 24, 25 agents from 14 different countries. So they will come to me saying, I need housing. So what I try to do is I try to find them either a landlord that I vetted or a host family. What a great opportunity for Christians to take these students into their homes and to live Christ before them before the summer. And the students will ask you, what's your culture? What do you do? It's just such an easy way to share the gospel. And the students will pay you a weekly compensation. They have to follow your house rules. They have to pay for their own food. They have to pay for their own supplies. And they have to have their own transportation, even if it's a bicycle. So that's the ways that people here can help. They can become a host family. But the students either come through me for housing or they come through the U.S. sponsors. The U.S. sponsors connect them with the employers. And the U.S. sponsors are aware of what we all are doing, so the sponsors will say, you need to find Mid-Cape J1 Housing Program on the internet. And then I direct them to Hello Summer J1 Facebook group, where we post all our events for the summer so that the students can understand about things they need to know about Cape Cod, about the transportation system, and about all the things that we're going to do for them.
And Ina, I'm curious, you came here as a student, so you knew you kind of had a place that you had vetted for yourself as far as you were saying. But a lot of these students are coming here without having any concept of what they're getting their feet into. They're kind of jumping into the boiling water. Can you give us a little bit of a perspective from your frame of reference of what it's like to leave your home and your comforts to come here to the United States with no real level of certainty of what you're going to be landing?
Absolutely. I would love to. Imagine yourself going to Russia, not speaking the language and not understanding where to go from point A to point B. Most of them students, thankfully, the requirements are higher this year. 5 years ago, they didn't have to be perfect in English, and some of them had really bad English. Today, many of them are so smart and best students, they have to qualify to come to America. So when they come, they don't know what to expect. They have this understanding of America, what they get from Hollywood movies. They think that everyone is rich, and so they have little fear. Just imagine leaving your home. The culture is different. Everything is different. The language that they learn, what I've learned in Ukraine, British language. It's completely different. In New England, we have wicked, cool, and all those that slang that is so different, and we speak so fast. So, and they go through cultural shock. I don't know if you heard that term. It's a big thing. And so they go through cultural shock. They go through fear of trusting. They go through this false understanding of what United States is. Especially now with media, people think that, oh, if you're a Muslim, you're not welcome to America, which is not the case. So they come with all those things. And I think it's for us as Christian representatives, as Christ representatives, we can just use this opportunity to speak, to welcome them. That's what God, Jesus says, welcome the foreigner. Did you feed me? Did you welcome me as a foreigner? That's one of his commands. And we can live this command out by welcoming those foreigners, those students, and show them love of Christ.
And Matt, you've actually opened up your house. You and Kathy have opened up your house to have students stay with you. It can be a little daunting for people to think of like allowing these students to come, but you forged some amazing relationships with the students that stay with you. Can you tell us a little bit about kind of the joy of having them as not only a part of, as guest in your home, but really as a part of your family?
What a blast. We've had students from Thailand, from Serbia, from Jamaica, from Russia, from Ukraine. We've had Russian and Ukrainians roommates when their countries are at war. So they consider themselves so much smarter than their countries because
they're friends.
They
can get along.
They get along. Some days our countries will stop acting like children and behave themselves and become good neighbors and like we are. And they were. So we've had long-term relationships with some of the students over the past 5 years because of the connections of the internet. So the gospel goes forward from our house to the world. And the students often, they aren't forced to, but they often come to our churches and to our church because they want to know what an American experience is. One of the fun things we're going to do this summer, Adam, is we're going to have Christmas in July. Because worldwide, Christmas is a famous thing, and yet, how do you do this? What does Christmas look like? And we have this wonderful woman in our church with these antique, beautiful Christmas ornaments, and she'll decorate the church, and we'll have sweets afterwards, and we'll have a present for each college student that comes, but also we'll help them with shoeboxes. They'll help fill a shoebox for the poor and for the hungry, so they'll not only receive Christmas presents and hear the gospel message, but they will be able to give Christmas presents from that forum.
I want to hear from you about the kind of framework and the mindset of students that are going to be coming to the States this summer because of our political situation. A lot of things have transformed, and the world perspective of American politics has taken on a life of its own. Being an outsider, you have a unique perspective on this, and being connected with people back at home and in Eastern Europe, you can kind of give us a perspective on some of the fears that these students are going to be having as they come to the States.
Definitely. In December, I came back from a trip, missions trip to Ukraine. I went to different orphanages. I met some students also. And the world is, as I said before, not in a good place economically, spiritually. And it's harder to come to America. It's harder to get visa today. And many people look into America as a promised land, that they will come and they will fulfill their dreams. It's a land of opportunity. So many, many students dying to come to United States. You have no idea how much they want. It's their dream to come to United States. And in order to come to United States, they have to collect a lot of money. They spend so much. Sometimes their parents save for a whole or a year or two in order to send their student to America. And also you have to pay the fees to go to American Embassy, and you pay big fee. And it does not guarantee you to pass the interview. And also the media that shows that Americans don't like Muslims anymore, they're not welcome, and it's not true. And unfortunately, many Americans think that all Muslims, many Muslims are terrorists, but the truth is that there are two categories. There are radicals, which are terrorists, and there are peaceful Muslims. I'm 30 now. When I was 17, I came to the Lord. And I came from Muslim background. My dad was a Muslim. He was nominal Muslim. I grew up knowing the culture, just having Quran on my shelf. I was peaceful Muslim. I was searching. I was searching for the truth. And I found it. And because of some people who invited me to church, and I see many of them that I meet during the summer, they come from peaceful homes. From Muslim peaceful home, who grew up in this tradition. They just happened to grow up in Muslim country, like Tatarstan, Kazakhstan. My dad was from Tatarstan. So many of them are searching. So that's why I wanted to share that with you, that a lot of those students, the biggest thing is to approach them correctly, not try to fix them right away, but just ask them questions. Ask them, tell me about yourself, tell me about your culture, and just genuinely be interested in them as a person. And that's what got me when I was how I became a Christian, when someone invited me to church, welcomed me as I am, not telling me, oh, you're Muslim, you cannot come in, what are you, radical, are you, no. And so I pray that we would open our hearts, and Jesus died for everyone. For Muslim, for Christian, for Hindu. He loved the world. And so it's a great opportunity for us.
Matt, you've kind of had some interesting interactions with the students that you've taken around, especially because you take some bus trips up to Boston. And I think it's surprising because the perspective of a lot of these students that are coming from a Muslim country or a Muslim background, they have probably never even interacted with a Christian. So their kind of ideas of what a Christian are like, they're pretty off, aren't they?
We've had some wonderful opportunities. These are very special young people. These are world changers. We picked up a young man at Logan Airport and drove him to his workplace out in Truro. And we stopped for dinner because that's a long trip for an old man like me and dinners. So he asked me, "What do you do? What do you do for a living?" And I said, "I'm a pastor." And his jaw dropped and his hands fell open like, "Are we at war?" No, we're having dinner. But that's not war. So his perspective about Christian pastors is that all of us are terrorists. And we're not. So the connections we've made worldwide are just astonishing. About a third of the students that come in are Muslim. We've seen Buddhist and Baha'i. We've seen Orthodox and atheist. But the gospel says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever includes tall folks and short folks and skinny folks and other folks and people of color and people of background and people of culture, that whosoever, can you imagine touching the life of a world changer and then sending them back, a future Billy Graham going back into a culture because you were kind to them, because your vision wasn't, oh, they don't speak the same as I do, but that they speak different and I can be kind to a world changer. Dear God. So I'm 62 years old and I'm touching the life of world changers, and it's the coolest thing God has ever called us to do. Kathy and I are missionaries to the international students. We use the visa designation as their title. They're J1s, and that's a Reagan designation for allowing students to come in legally, $1,500 to $5,000 a piece to get here. And we have the opportunity on our shores to touch the life of world changers. Our God is so good at them.
Kathy, can you just tell us, because you're interacting with these students, and it's still, the summer seems still so far away, especially when there's still snow on the ground, but you're interacting with these students now. Can you tell us a little bit about the kind of the feelings in the air of what it means to come now in the light of current political events?
There are several of them that have contacted us on Hello Summer J1 or me personally, who come from a Muslim background, and they're afraid. They're afraid to come here because they're afraid that they're no longer going to be treated with respect. They're afraid that someone might hurt them. They're even afraid that they're going to pay all this money and all of a sudden the law is going to change and they can't come. And they say, but we've been here. Some of them have been here before and there have been absolutely no problems. One of the students that contacted me recently on Facebook Messenger said, you know, I'm born a Muslim because I live in Turkey, but I'm not. And he tried for like 5 minutes to convince me that he's open-minded and not a Muslim so that he would be accepted. And I said, you don't have to worry. The current law does not affect you. And I keep saying this over and over again. The current law does not affect you. But they say, what will happen when we get here? Will they change the law? Will we not be welcome? Another student had come 2 years ago that he's from England, but he's a Muslim. And he came on the Facebook group and said, well, what's going to happen now? If I wanted to come back, would I be welcome? And I said, if it were up to me, you would always be welcome here. And we're just trying to calm them down. But even the non-Muslim students are wondering about their Muslim friends. Can they come this year? What about me? How are they going to see me? If we're building a wall to keep immigrants out, that's how they view it. Whether it's illegal or not, they see them as just immigrants. Even though they're not really an immigrant visa, they're concerned. They're concerned, even though they're here legally, how will we be treated? And as Christians, we need to treat them with the respect that Jesus Christ would give them.
Kathy, I want to ask you now, in the understanding of all of that's been happening and the real needs, what do you want to tell our listeners about how they can spot and what they should do to interact with these students with the perspective of knowing where they're coming from, what fears they might have in their mind? What advice do you have for our listeners who might see some of these international students, whether it's at a grocery store or at a restaurant or at a hotel?
Make them feel at home. Welcome them. Tell them that you're glad they're here. They need to hear that. They're just so afraid this year. Tell them that, you know, you'll do whatever you can to make sure that they're welcome. And then do what you say you're going to do. Don't just say, oh, I want to get together with you and then never do it. Hold to your promises because they're watching. And you can show them the love of Christ. What would Jesus do in this situation? Would he say, oh, you're a Muslim, I'm not going to talk to you? He wouldn't do that. He would reach out to them. He would love them. He came and died for Muslims as well as for those in America. And he loves them. So we need to show his love to them as well.
Now, you may think that we're adding to the words of Jesus, but Jesus spoke to a Samaritan woman, changed her life, and she went back and evangelized her whole village. What we're doing is what Jesus did. He reached out. He reached out, and the law is clear that you need, the law of faith is that you need to reach out, that you need to reach beyond yourself. And I'll tell you, the strongest words you can use are words of kindness. Kindness is a Christian virtue, and that we would be kind to the people around us. And the Lord would say to you, do not be fearful. Fear not, for I am with you. And you think about the disciples in the early age, and they stepped up, and they told of the love of Christ, and lives were changed, and the world was changed. And we live in faith today because others have stood up and said, Jesus loves you.
I have friends who became Christians as a result because someone welcomed them when they came as J1 students to their home and brought them to church. Now they serve at the church in their hometown. So there are stories and stories, and we have stories of people who came back to their countries and started to do something and make a difference. And I have a friend from Russia, Alexander Welberg, And she hosted me when I went to Russia as a missionary to go to orphanages. She helped me, she hosted me, and now she's making a difference in Russia, changing the system in orphanage system in Russia. So it's truly an opportunity. Those students are the best of the best who come. They are truly bright. And if you can touch their lives, they can come back and transform their countries.
I've been saying this since the 3 years that I've been having you guys come onto the program to talk about this ministry. I've been personally involved since it started. I think the very first the meal that you guys had, that this is a really valuable ministry that has international implications. The opportunities to reach out to, you said, 59 different countries, 4,000 students, and to transform their lives by welcoming them into your home, welcoming them into your life, like I do. I mean, I honestly can't have a lot of students come over to my place, but I just drive them to Walmart. You know, I say, I'm going to go to Walmart. I don't even need to go to Walmart, but, you know, I'll take a whole car ride of students out there and walk behind all the students pushing the cart while they're all going through and touching every single item in the store. These are opportunities. These have international implications. And, you know, as an outsider who came here, I think that we, you know, Matt and Kathy, we kind of have this mindset that's very American, individualism, isolation. You don't talk to people you don't know. But you're coming as an outsider. You're waiting for people to come up to you. You're waiting to be welcomed in, and you're actually excited about that kind of stuff.
Yeah. When I came to America when I was 17, I had family in Maryland. I felt very conscious about my English. I was so shy. And it was a completely different world to me. And that's how they feel. And I came with open heart and open mind. That's how they come, with open heart, with open mind. They're students. They're searching. They're trying to find themselves in this world. And to me, wow, it's a great opportunity to truly, you know, in America, created J-1 visa. Why? The purpose of J-1 visa is to improve diplomacy between countries. So how we can improve diplomacy unless we change one life at a time. One life at a time. And it's very practical. And the greatest needs when they come is their practical needs. And if we can help them with practical needs, their hearts are turned and open towards us. It's housing. It's just stop and say, hey, how can I help you? Do you have any questions? Just simply smile at them and welcome them. Just get involved. They are welcome dinners throughout the Cape. And you can find us online. Or just find them on Stop and Shop and say, hey, what's your name? Let's be friends. And host them for dinner. If you can house them, you can take them out for ice cream. There's so many ways. And honestly, it won't just change the student. It will change you. It's a mutual cultural experience. And I can't emphasize this enough, that the J-1 visa program, the purpose of it, to gain cultural experience. We have heritage, Christian heritage as Americans. We can share about what is this country is about and what is it. They are so open to hear about it. So it's truly cultural experience.
And despite what anyone thinks about the political issues, whether you're on the right or the left, the J-1 ministry is the J-1 students that are coming here on these passports. This is not immigration. This is not these are not people that are coming here even as students. Or this is this is the ideal way to have a greater impact in the world, because the mission field is showing up right here in our own backyard. I want to talk a little bit now, just briefly, about the kind of immediate needs that you have. And Matt, you were telling me before we got started that you have opportunities now to take this off Cape. You're traveling as full-time ministries in this field. You have opportunities to kind of take this throughout all of New England, which is really my heartbeat, my passion. I want to see this go everywhere across the Cape, across New England. So tell us a little bit about the immediate opportunities that you've been having.
Thank you. We have 4,000 students come to work on the Cape in the summer, but 95,000 J-1 students come to America every year. So we have people, all kinds of tourist places, summer and winter, have J-1 students coming in have these international college students. On a local level, when we go to churches, we ask churches, will you sponsor a dinner? Will you do an event with us? And we'll help you. We have vans and we have things, and we have some experience doing this. Will you help us with a dinner? Last year, we gave away 300 bicycles with Papa Denny's Free Cycles. Now I have 50 broken bicycles in my yard, and Denny has. So are you good at fixing bicycles? Well, we could use your help. Are you good at organizing a dinner? We could use your help. Whatever it is that you love to do, we want you to share with students. It is really a blast to watch Adam Miller sitting at a table with students all around him and them asking him questions about what is your church like? What do you wear to church? What happens in your church? And Adam just sitting there, and then part of that connection is we need to go there or we need to do this or that. Obviously, getting around on bicycle on Cape Cod is tricky and dangerous, and so we give away flickers for a bicycle. A flicker lights the back, and it flickers back and forth, and it saves a life. Donate flickers. But what we're asking you to do is expand your vision, not to run and hide, but God has given us the opportunity to touch the life of world changers. It's so cool.
And Kathy, one of the biggest needs that you have in facilitating these students that are coming here, the 4,000 students that will be coming here for the summer, is finding them safe and secure housing, vetted housing. But ideally, what we would like to see, what I would like to see, is that they're staying with a Christian family that is able to not only share the gospel with them at a dinner table, but to live it and demonstrate it in front of them.
Absolutely. Every year, there's bad housing situations. One of the landlords, not a Christian, but one of the landlords last year had a Turkish student stay with him, and everything was fine for 2 weeks, and then the student walked back in the house, and the guy said, get out, you're a terrorist, get out. Mm-hmm. In the morning, he apologized and said, you can stay, but the student's like, I am not staying. So things like that are happening to these students who just want to know what America is all about. That's the wrong thing to show them. I would love to have Christians rent out their spare bedroom and show them the love of Jesus, live Christ before them. We had comments with students living with us. There was some tense situations where the girls upstairs were not getting along with the girls downstairs, and I was not upset. And one of the students looked at me and said, wow, you didn't get upset. You didn't. Just the small things, the things that happen to you every day in your Christian walk, they're watching. Imagine if one of them went home to their country and started a revival because they saw Christ in you in your own home. You don't even have to leave your home in order to reach the world. We, like my husband said, we've had students from Malaysia. One year it was Serbia, Jamaica, Ukraine, Russia, and Thailand all in our house. And it was such a blast. These kids will ask you questions. They will ask you to take them places. If it's raining, take them to work, please, because riding a bike in the rain is no fun. But if they see that you're kind to them in that way, that opens their heart. And then the next question is, which we hear at the dinners all the time, why are you doing this? Why aren't you doing this and not charging us? What do you want? We don't want anything. We just want to love you the way Jesus loves you.
And this is one of my favorite ministries. I've mentioned this on the broadcast before because it has so many valuable implications to it. And you do another thing with the J-1 students where you kind of set up like these host families that will do like just a dinner. I mean, maybe they don't want to open up their house to have a student come and stay. And that can be a little challenging and a little fearful. But a good way to get your foot into the water, so to speak, is just to invite them over for a dinner. I have to say that when I first came to the Cape, I had so many different families invite me over for dinner, and it certainly made my experience of coming to the Cape that much easier. But Ina, can you tell us a little bit about, as an international, somebody who is coming to the Cape, what's the value of being invited into an American home? What would you gain from that? What are these students really going to, why would they even be incentivized to actually want to come to somebody's, a stranger's house for a meal?
I just want to share the story. I don't know if you know Gandhi, you know about Gandhi. I don't know if you know that in the beginning when he was a student, he lived with a Christian family, but they didn't seem to welcome them and show him just friendly face. And he was searching. He had questions about Christ. And as a result, he kind of turned away from the Lord. But what a great opportunity it was for that Christian family. And what a welcoming spirit can do. It's truly incredible. So I think that that's what Jesus calls us to, just open our hearts and welcome them. And because God's heart is open for everyone. And I think it's so important for them to see just a friendly face. And if you're not sure, and I understand, because sometimes we're not comfortable, we fear the unknown, we don't know. But just start having a conversation in the Stop and Shop. Just ask them questions and tell them you're welcome here. Or if you're interested just to see how welcome dinners work, you can reach out to us and maybe volunteer like Adam as a host and just help out with that. Or if you have any questions or concerns, you can find us online and ask questions. But truly, if you have the world, if you have in your heart the desire to preach the good news and to make your life not just wasted, but truly meaningful, I think this ministry gives you an opportunity truly to know that every day is counted, that you did something. We all of us, this life is so short. Our purpose of life is to not just to get to heaven, to bring as many people with us. And if you don't have opportunity to travel, they come here. And it's, as a missionary, I go to Ukraine every year. It's a lot of work to travel, but hey, I mean, they're here. They come. God is so good. He brought the world here. And usually when I go to orphanages, I think, oh, I will do this and this and this. Guess what? Who has changed? Me. I'm changed. They minister to me. And I see this when you step out and just do something, just little thing, God can multiply it. God can multiply our efforts, our little things that we do for him. If you do it with, open heart. And you changed as a result, and your life is transformed as a result. So I just want to encourage you to get involved because it's life-changing experience for sure.
We've been talking with Matt and Kathy Boyle and Ina Taylor, who are the real founders of this great ministry that I've been a part of for the 5 years that I've been here, and the J-1 student visa ministry program that is reaching out to 4,000 students that come here internationally from 59 different countries. And what an opportunity to have a mission field in our own backyard. So I want to thank all three of you so much for being a part of the Many Voices for that one message.
Thanks, Adam.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this interview made possible by our ministry at Songtime Radio. You can find out more information about our ministry by visiting our website at songtime.com, where you can find this and other interviews on our podcast series, as well as our weekday broadcast, which includes teaching, interviews, and music. We also want to encourage you to sign up for our free monthly newsletter. It's got encouraging articles, and there is no obligation. To find out more information about our ministry, again, visit our website at songtime.com. This ministry is made possible by people just like yourself. We are 100% supported by our listeners. So if you have been blessed today, why not join with the many voices together for that one message, the gospel of Jesus Christ, with your donation to the Songtime Ministry. To make a donation, you can do so online at our website at songtime.com, as well as by mail. Write to us at Songtime Radio, P.O. Box 100, Barnstable, Massachusetts, 02630, or give us a call. Make a donation over the phone. It's 508-362-7070. On behalf of our entire Songtime staff and our own Dr. John DeBrine, the founder here at Songtime, who encourages you to grow in grace and not groan in disgrace, from Cape Cod, I'm Adam Miller. God bless.